This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. His final State of the Union address, President Obama last night took issue with those who say America is getting weaker and its enemies getting stronger.
Let me tell you something. The United States of America is the most powerful nation on earth, period.
In the GOP response, though, South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley said that President Obama's record falls short of his goals and rhetoric.
We're feeling a crushing national debt, a health care plan that has made insurance less affordable and doctors less available, and chaotic unrest in many of our cities.
In an apparent jab at comments from GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump, Haley said the U.S. should continue admitting what she described as properly vetted legal immigrants, quote, regardless of their race or religion. Meanwhile, America is in critical condition, according to the assessment from the Reverend Franklin Graham.
Our country is in trouble. We're in spiritual trouble.
Graham made his comments yesterday before the president's speech. The son of evangelist Billy Graham expected to deliver a similar message today in front of Louisiana's capital hours before President Obama is set to arrive. The Family Research Council says it's time for spiritual and moral renewal after 7 years under President Obama.
In a statement issued after the State of the Union address, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council said President Obama has departed from the values that made America a great nation. Perkins said marriage, religious liberty, human sexuality, the church, race relations, and our core beliefs have all been frayed by the words and deeds of this administration.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clarkson. The U.S. military says there's no indication that any of the 10 sailors detained by Iran were harmed during their captivity. The 10 are now back in U.S. care. Iranian state media says investigations determined that mechanical trouble caused their boats to drift into Iranian territorial waters. At Wall Street right now, Dow futures up 94 points. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda Web Application Firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda Web App Firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
World football's governing body, FIFA, has dismissed Secretary Jerome Valcke.
Mr. Valcke is facing a 9-year ban from football for alleged breaches of FIFA's code of ethics. The BBC understands he is under investigation for, amongst other things, misuse of personal expenses and the private jet FIFA often hire. However, other factors are thought to be involved in today's decision. Mr. Valcke was accused last year of being party to an alleged £7 million bribe paid to a former FIFA official, an allegation he has always denied.
That is the BBC's Richard Conway reporting. NFL owners voted to allow the St. Louis Rams to move to a new stadium just outside of Los Angeles yesterday. The move ends the NFL's 21-year absence from the nation's second-largest media market. No NFL franchise has moved since the Houston Oilers went to Tennessee back in 1997. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew. On the campaign trail yesterday, GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump sounded an optimistic tone about his chances in the Iowa caucuses as he campaigned in Cedar Falls.
It's a special place. I love Iowa. We're going to do so great. We're going to win, and we're going to start winning. We're going to win so much that you people are going to get sick and tired of winning.
Well, a new survey of likely voters suggests that some Democrats might vote for Trump if he wins the GOP nomination. The survey by the Washington-based Mercury Analytics organization is a combination online questionnaire and a dial test of Trump's first big campaign ad among 916 self-proclaimed likely voters. Oil prices continued to take a pounding yesterday in international trading, down almost a dollar a barrel off 96 cents at $30.45 in international trading on the New York Mercantile Exchange. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, see what's that style. Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez back with you at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go, and we want you to get involved in the conversation because your opinion really does count here. If we're going to do something about getting this country back on track, you need to get involved. With us right now, Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Michael, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good, Bill. It's a pleasure to be talking with you.
Well, boy, I'll tell you, we got all hell breaking loose here with Saudi Arabia and Iran with the execution of this cleric. We've got problems here. What's going on?
Well, you're absolutely right, and things are coming to a head right now. Sheikh Nimr, Nimr al-Nimr, was perhaps the most prominent Shiite cleric in Saudi Arabia, and as you know, most of Saudi Arabia's eastern province is actually Shiite, even though Saudi Arabia is run by the Sunnis. And also in the eastern province, that's where Saudi Arabia gets its oil from. Now, the background to this and what's not being said is while Sheikh Nimr was arguing for peaceful change and so forth, and there has to be a footnote above that, which I'll get to in a second, this execution happened against the backdrop of Saudi Arabia announcing an austerity plan. And so we almost have the royal family in Saudi Arabia doing what Vladimir Putin does. Whenever there's economic hardship, you try to rally people around the flag. So, I mean, wholeheartedly, I would condemn what Saudi Arabia did. That said, we need to recognize in his past, even though Sheikh Nimr is described as someone who professes nonviolence, in his past, he had been part of a Saudi Hezbollah group, and the Saudi Hezbollah was the same group that was responsible for the 1996 Khobar Towers bombing. He since withdrew from that position, but the Saudis were still upset with him for leading the protest movement in the eastern province against Saudi discrimination.
Now, he was putting a lot of pressure and agitating the locals there, and they said enough and incarcerated him. But Iran, you know, said, look, we don't want any harm, you know, to befall this Sheikh Nimr. And, of course, now with this execution and then Saudi Arabia says we're not going to take any chances. We're closing down the embassy and we want Iran out of the country.
Well, you know, there's a few things, again, going on here in the background. Mm-hmm. First of all, let's be clear that Iran is being hypocritical when they complain about religious freedom or about executions. The executions that occurred in 2015 in Iran were an order of magnitude above the 147 executions which occurred in Saudi Arabia. Likewise, when Iranian President Hassan Rouhani starts talking about religious freedom, well, if he cares that much about religious freedom, let him release American Christian pastor Saeed Abedini, who's been held hostage in Iran.
Exactly.
Let him release the Baha'i men, women, and children, and let him account for the 20 missing Jews who have disappeared in the Iranian prisons who they're not coming clean about. So there's hypocrisy there. Now, what the Iranians did before the Saudis broke diplomatic relations, the Iranians sacked the Saudi embassy and burned it. And again, what's not in the news is that the United Arab Emirates gave shelter to the Saudi diplomats because evidently the Iranians were trying to take them hostage. The Saudis may have been odious for executing Sheikh Nimr, but there is absolutely no excuse for the hostage taking. We had the American hostage taking in 1979. We had the sacking of the German embassy in 1997. We had the sacking of the British embassy in 2011. We had the Iranians going after the Danish embassy in 2006. You know, until people shut their embassies in Iran and tell them you cannot attack these sovereign territories, these representatives of diplomacy, we're just going to have the Iranians using hostage taking as a tool.
Well, Michael, is this a Sunni and Shia thing at the very basis of this?
Oh, absolutely. This is in many ways a Sunni-Shia thing. And remember that Iran and Saudi Arabia have always been rivals, even before the Islamic Revolution in Iran. That said, the Iranian government upholds this notion, and it's in their constitution, it's in the founding statutes of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which says the purpose of the Islamic Republic is to export revolution, and so they have been inciting violence in and against Saudi Arabia for decades.
How potentially destabilizing is this act?
It's extremely destabilizing. First of all, when it comes to the United States, Saudi Arabia believes that we threw Saudi Arabia under the bus because of the Iran deal. And remember that whether we like Saudi Arabia or not, they've been our ally since 1945. On top of which, now we have a situation where the Iranians, of course, don't trust us. So both sides think the United States is siding with our enemies. So we could really suffer from this blow up. Now, the Iranians have threatened to kill Saudi princes wherever they can find them. So we have Iran again confirming its mantle as the leading state sponsor of terrorism. And remember, the Iranians tried to murder the Saudi ambassador inside Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
So they're not going to pay attention.
Well, so now the United States is neutered in this whole situation. Leadership has been lacking tremendously. They talk about leading from behind. Let's just talk about zero-sum leadership whatsoever when it comes to the United States as it relates to the Middle East. And now you got Vladimir Putin saying, look it, I can interject myself and I can be a factor here.
Well, that's absolutely the case. When President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry look at diplomacy, they have this almost Pollyannish notion that diplomacy is how to get to yes, finding a win-win situation. What they don't realize is for the Iranians, for the Russians, and frankly for the Saudis, it's a zero-sum game. For them to win, someone else has to lose.
Well, in this particular scenario, you know, and I ask you about the destabilization, we've got a potential lightning rod that could get out of control pretty quick here, Michael.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bill. And remember that 17% of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz, and so basically, any tension between Saudi Arabia and Iran could be disastrous for the oil markets. Now, you have a situation that when Iraq and Iran were fighting back in the 1980s, we ended up getting involved militarily by reflagging the Kuwaiti tankers because both sides started taking pot shots at each other's tankers. Mm-hmm. I think the other aspect we're going to see is Saudi Arabia isn't now going to hesitate to buy a nuclear weapon off the shelf from Pakistan, if only to counter what they see as Iran's industrial military nuclear program.
Exactly, and not to mention talking about pot shots, here 2 weeks ago you had Iranians taking a shot at U.S. military ships.
Well, they were taking a shot near the U.S. military ship, and it was certainly provocative. What many people don't realize about the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf is just how shallow and narrow it is. Mm-hmm. To launch an F-18 or any aircraft off an aircraft carrier, you need 26 knots of wind speed across the deck of the aircraft carrier, and sometimes we have trouble maneuvering and still staying within the sea lanes because of that. So we're in a serious situation when Iran is being as provocative as they are.
Well, it almost, boy, I'll tell you, you know, what flashes back to me here, Michael, is Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas. You know, in terms of the Strait of Hormuz, as far as what it sets up there in terms of being a sitting target, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. And throw into the mix that we've given Iran $100 billion in sanctions relief, most of which is going to go into their military programs. The U.S. Navy is at serious risk from Iran's upgraded anti-ship missile capability.
Well, our conversation with Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, continues right here on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us, America. It's just about 14 minutes after the top of the hour.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
If survivalist housing has been in your plans, get ready. We're bringing our Timberline Range Camps to you February 6th through 14th, the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Get an up-close look at some of our most popular Timberline models or visit survivalistcamps.com to pre-order a camp. We'll bring it to the show and save you the cost of shipping. It's the perfect time to get that camp you've wanted. Go to survivalistcamps.com, then plan on joining us at the Great American Outdoor Show in February in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
You've reached Bill Martinez Live.
Love me.
loves all you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 19 after the top of the hour. Michael Rupp is with us. Our conversation continues. Michael, of course, former Pentagon official, AEI scholar, author of the book Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. He is the research areas include the Middle East, Turkey, Iran, and diplomacy. Michael, without getting too much in the weeds here, I want people to understand why the Sheikh is such a figurehead. We know the youth of Saudi Arabia really fell behind Sheikh Nimr, but help our audience understand why he is such a player here.
Well, you know, Sheikh Nimr started out in a town in eastern Saudi Arabia, and again, eastern Saudi Arabia is a Shiite area. Sheikh Nimr is Shiite. Mm-hmm. Now, the Saudis have always taken the oil out of the eastern province, and the Shiites feel discriminated against. There's a corollary to what's been going on in Bahrain, where Bahrain is ruled by Sunnis and the island of Bahrain is majority Shiite. Mm-hmm. And as much as Bahrain is in the news, when the Bahrainis use tear gas and rubber bullets, the Saudis have been using live ammunition. Sheikh Nimr, basically, in a nutshell, was the leader of the Arab Spring movement inside Saudi Arabia with special residence for the Shiites. That said, while he professed nonviolence and so forth, there's deep suspicion about what he actually wanted and his interaction with Iran. For a period of time, he'd actually lived in Iranian exile.
Now, he met with the U.S. officials here, what, about 7 years ago, correct?
That's absolutely right. When the protests really started in eastern Saudi Arabia, he met with U.S. diplomats. We have a consulate in Dahan in the eastern province, as well as the embassy in Riyadh and the consulate in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, on the Red Sea. Now, he met with them to suggest that, you know, I'm not hostile to the United States. All I want is political reform. And so this is a bit of a double slap in that the Saudis executed someone with whom they knew that we were talking.
How does Saudi Arabia's Sunni royal family tap this down? Can they?
Well, the Saudis have an interesting strategy. For example, after Sheikh Nimr was arrested back in 2013, his wife came down with cancer, and the Saudis paid for her treatment in Europe, all expenses paid for about 9 months. What the Saudis oftentimes do is really embrace the families to show that they are not going to take revenge on the family, only on the individual, try to bring the families back in the fold. One of the interesting footnotes here is that neither of Sheikh Nimr's sons ever visited him in prison, likely because either the Saudis were preventing them from doing so, or more likely because they wanted to distance themselves from their father.
Well, Michael, so much still going on. As we said, this is quite a hotbed. This is a lightning rod in and of itself, and only time will demonstrate what could happen and what could be ignited here. But meanwhile, you have Iran's ballistic missile ambitions. What's going on there?
Well, you know, what's going on is that under the United Nations Security Council resolution, which came after the signing of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the so-called Iran deal, I believe it was UN Security Council Resolution 2231, Iran was forced to stop its ballistic missile work, and yet what they're doing is testing and building ballistic missiles, a clear violation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and the United Nations sanctions. The Obama administration has been refusing to put sanctions on them, being afraid that if they sanction Iran, the Iranians might walk away from the nuclear deal. You know, Secretary of State John Kerry and President Barack Obama have never had a job in the private sector. They don't understand that when you show desperation in negotiations, it seldom goes your way.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, that's what we're doing.
Well, and this is why people, you know, are looking to Trump, because Trump's the deal maker. I mean, you know, you talk about having a deal. We really don't have a deal, do we?
Yeah, no, I certainly don't want to endorse Trump. I have a lot of problems with him.
I understand.
But in this case, What we have is a situation, and this was really the topic of my book, that over the past 60-plus years, the State Department has never done a lessons-learned exercise to understand why we fail so badly in negotiations with rogue regimes, whether it's North Korea, whether it's the Taliban, whether it's Saddam Hussein's Iraq, and so forth. And there's bipartisan castigation that enough to go around, and unfortunately, we see play-by-play every single mistake we could be making, we're making with Iran. It's that situation where I guess Churchill once quipped, the Americans never always do the right thing after they try everything else first. Unfortunately, the cost of trying everything else first when it comes to Iran's nuclear program may be too high to bear.
Michael, I remember as a kid growing up, I mean, our negotiations with Russia, for example, it was like we try to impose our reality on other governments that, you know, they're just not buying the gospel. And, you know, we're trying to project our sense of reality in negotiations. It just doesn't work that way, does it? Not effectively, anyway.
No, it's not. I mean, oftentimes we get into a situation where we're in the State Department, and too often in the White House as well, leverage is a dirty word. When Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, she was lecturing the previous administration saying, look, if you don't talk to your enemies, who are you going to talk to? And she brought up Ronald Reagan, that Ronald Reagan sat down with Mikhail Gorbachev to negotiate the end of the Cold War. That's absolutely right, but what Clinton omitted to mention was that happened after Reagan undertook a five-year military buildup, which, by the way, Clinton in her youth opposed, in order to have leverage, in order to have the deal come out our way. That's something which, unfortunately, the State Department doesn't understand.
Yeah, it's amazing how they rewrite history to accommodate their own agenda. Michael, one final thing I want to have a chance to talk to you about, and that is the fall of ISIS in Ramadi. How significant is this?
It is absolutely significant, but remember, ISIS still controls about 30% of Ramadi. What actually fell was the government center. Now, momentum means everything. When we've had two other major ISIS defeats, the first in Kobane in northern Syria and the second in Sinjar in northwestern Iraq, they were followed by horrific terrorism. In the first case, the burning of the Jordanian pilot alive. In the second case, the Paris attacks. And so we need to be on guard. And even if the Islamic State is resolved in Syria and Iraq, thanks to President Obama taking his eyes off the prize and allowing the Islamic State to thrive and to metastasize, we're still going to be dealing with the Islamic State in Libya, in Afghanistan, and in the Sinai Peninsula.
Well, anytime we get a defeat a victory against ISIS, it definitely helps in terms of countermanding, you know, their propaganda machine, doesn't it?
Well, it absolutely does. And that's why they've always responded in the past with these horrific terror attacks. I mean, we're going to have a situation, however, where this is one battle. We can't confuse the battle with the war. When we do that, when, for example, the White House says the Islamic State is contained, then we're faced with the fact they're not. We've got to calibrate our strategy to facts on the ground rather than White House spin.
We're saying when it says that exactly, and then here it is domestically, we have what happened in San Bernardino, and you know, when you've got almost 1,000 FBI and open investigations domestically, you talk about keeping your eye on the ball. I mean, this is, you know, it's like everybody must have their head on a swivel at this point.
Well, absolutely. I mean, ultimately, we're in lame duck territory here, where even our adversaries always take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Our allies now are in a situation where they no longer trust us, and our adversaries understand that, and dynamics that we've never had before in this sort of situation.
Well, Michael, what do we do here? We've got roughly 12 more months of the Obama administration, which this foreign policy has been demonstrably a disaster. Are we just hanging on here? Is that all we can do?
We are just hanging on. The real concern I have, and this is a question for every single candidate, is how do you restore American credibility? Because you can bet, Bill, that we're going to be tested. That 3 a.m. phone call that Hillary Clinton once talked about, mm-hmm. we're going to be getting it on speed dial.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, and your point is well taken, is that, I mean, this is going to be a process, just like anything. It took us a while to get to this point, to be in this failed foreign policy posture that we're in right now. This is not going to be something that's going to turn around rapidly, is it?
No, it's not. When a president loses political credibility, it's automatically restored after the next when a new president enters the Oval Office. When you lose credibility on the world stage, there is no magic wand. It takes decades to restore.
Michael Rubin, resident scholar with AEI, former Pentagon official. Michael, thank you. This is Bill Martinez at 28 After.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to InvasionStopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to InvasionStopper.com now. That's InvasionStopper.com.
Are your Google search results killing you?
Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. A little Sweet Georgia Brown. And anytime you hear Sweet Georgia Brown, I was a kid and I grew up with this song. And Sweet Georgia Brown and the Harlem Globetrotters went together. Van Hipp is with us, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Army, former Principal Deputy General Counsel of the U.S. Navy, author of the book New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It. The foreword was done by Newt Gingrich, the one and only and former speaker. And Van, Middle Ark Lemon was a personal friend of yours.
He sure was, and a great man. And I got to tell you, one of the finest people I've ever known. And was sorry to see him pass away. He lived a long, great life and helped so many beyond basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Well, his story is so well documented. And, you know, Middle Ark Lemon was the kind of guy. You know, I actually had a chance to play against him in a celebrity basketball game in Bakersfield, California, when I was a disc jockey many, many years ago before I went in the Marine Corps. And what a delight, because, you know, you grow up as a kid watching, and I loved basketball, but, of course, the Harlem Globetrotters were just, they had a whole nother unique sense of how to play the game.
They certainly did. And, you know, he had a group called Metal Arcs All-Stars, and he was still going around the country. He would always have two or three ringers. They would fly in, and I'll tell you, and then they'd had a couple people, and they could beat about anybody in town, let me tell you. Yeah. And this time last year, he was actually overseas entertaining the troops and then going to U.S. military hospitals, visiting the sick and the wounded. He loved his country, and he loved the military.
What a heart. You know, his smile, which lit up arenas around the world, literally, Van, was just, it was who he was. I mean, what you saw was what you got, just a very genuine, warm, caring individual. And this is why it was a natural, I guess, transformation for him to become the man of faith that he became.
That's a very good point, and I tell you, and always had that sense of humor, was so genuine. I had him speak at my church one Sunday night, and I got to tell you, Bill was the largest crowd we've ever had, and he what a great guy. We had him one time. He loved the Salvation Army, and we had an event for inner city youth in the Washington D.C. area, and Metal Arc came, and this is a few years ago, and I'll never forget him telling the kids, there's no excuse for missing a free throw shot. It's free. They're giving it to you. Why would you take something that's free? There's no excuse for not doing something that's free.
Right.
And but he knew how to connect with those kids. And speaking of that, I got to tell you, I didn't know this before. He was very proud of this. He had a 97% lifetime free throw shooting percentage. No one who's ever played a game had anywhere near close to that kind of record.
Yeah, could you imagine Shaquille O'Neal with a 90% free throw average? I mean, that would have been unbelievable, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But let's break him down a little bit more. I mean, the fact that he was such a giving man, he had experienced a lot, and he was out there, you know, speaking to the youth to encourage them to realize their dream. I mean, he was living his dream. He was blessed by God tremendously, and he was not afraid to talk about his relationship.
He sure wasn't. He was a very strong Christian, and he had a book out. It came out about a year or two ago called Trust Your Last Shot. Mm-hmm. And just a great guy. People don't realize he actually was with President Reagan and prayed with Reagan in the Oval Office. He actually went and met with and witnessed to and prayed, got down on his knees and prayed with George Wallace at his bedside. Mm-hmm. When George Wallace changed his life.
Yes.
He had such an impact on so many people that really the mainstream media was totally unaware of. And so when he passed away, I said, you know, I need to tell this story. And that's why I wrote that op-ed that I did for Fox News last week, to tell the other side. He was a great basketball player, but an even greater man.
Well, you know, for him, imagine, you know, George Wallace and all that Wallace represented in terms of the racial movement and, you know, school segregation and that, and what a lightning rod George Wallace was. And now, years later, for Metal Arc Lemon to extend and demonstrate God's forgiveness and to be there praying at his bedside, that is a picture in and of itself.
Well, that's powerful. And, you know, and then I don't think that's ever been in print anywhere else until we wrote the story. I felt it needed to be told. It's something he had shared with me, and now that he passed away, I mean, people need to know the kind of man that he was. And what a role model for sports figures. I mean, in this day and age, other sports figures, man, they should look at him as a kind of role model that you want to emulate. Because if we had more Metal Arc Lemons, more sports figures trying to emulate that role model, him as a role model, and the kind of character he had to today's youth, what a difference it would make with our young people.
Well, you know, a lot of people didn't quite relate and understand that Metal Arc Lemon, I mean, he served in the U.S. Army.
He sure did. Mm-hmm. He served overseas. He served in Germany. And then after his military service is when he went and played with the Harlem Globetrotters. I think he told me he had actually seen them play. He was on active duty in the 50s mm-hmm. in Europe. And I think he had actually seen them play in Europe. And he went and did a tryout. And, of course, the rest is history.
Right. And, of course, the Globetrotters, you know, they were such a good team that they could frustrate a lot of NBA teams during their era.
Oh, and people, that's a very good point, but people don't realize that today, they actually played a couple NBA teams and beat them pretty soundly, and finally the NBA quit playing them.
Of course, they always, the team was, it was about a show. I mean, the Harlem Globetrotters, and they had their regular team that they took on the road. And, it was just great, great entertainment and how much fun and all the antics of one Metal Arc Lemon. I mean, you did not leave an event where the Harlem Globetrotters were at and you felt like you wanted your money back.
No, you got your money's worth. And, you know, I think everyone, you know, can remember. I can remember. I certainly can, you know, as a kid going to see them play. And I can remember my dad taking me to see them play. And we wrote the piece last week for Fox News. I got all kinds of emails from folks across the country saying that, you know, they can remember when their dad had taken them to see the Globetrotters. And, but, of course, so that's why I thought it was important. Everybody knew him as the Clown Prince of basketball, all that he did, the joy he brought to millions all over. But I thought it was important to know Metal Arc the man, and that's why we wrote the piece.
What was the, you know, you knew him so well then and saw him, you know, in terms of his ministry and talking with kids. What was the main nugget that he would share with these kids?
It was interesting. You know, it's in the Bible talks about joy, and his was a ministry of joy. And he always said, and I never forget this one of the lines one time we were having dinner, and he told me this, and I was with a friend, too, and he told both of us this, and we were talking last week after Metal Arc died, and he said, remember what he told us? Happiness is a wimp compared to joy. And his whole ministry was about that. He preached on that at my church. You know, happy. You know, we can be happy in the moment, but do you live a joyful life?
Right, exactly.
And, very, very powerful. And that's I think that in itself was what his ministry was all about.
Yeah, yeah. Being happy is connected to a happening. There's got to be an instance that triggers happiness. But joy is something that bubbles up from within, that is sustainable, that goes with you for. And I think that was something. I mean, you know, the one thing you always see in people is a God-given gift. And the gift that Metal Arc Lemon had, which was demonstrated in that big smile. I mean, every time you think of Metal Arc Lemon, you just see that big smile of his, which emanated from a heart of joy, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They broke the mold when they made him.
Well, I'll tell you, what a privilege for you. I mean, you have an opportunity to see him as a kid, and now you're sitting around having dinner with him. What a special time for you, Ben.
It really was. And I got to tell you, what his favorite meal was? He loved Greek food. He always wanted you to find a Greek restaurant.
Really? He loved Greek food of all things, huh?
He did.
Well, I'll tell you, we will miss him, but what a legacy that he leaves behind, and a real, a special individual, and we know that he will continue to speak to the youth of America. One Metal Arc Lemon, Van Hipp, with us. Thank you, Van, for sharing. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 19 before the top of the hour.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to aarp.org.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
About it before the defecation hits the oscillation. Bill Martinez live.
Back with you, America. 13 minutes before the top of the hour, we're just talking with producer Paul here, and it was some interesting things, you know, especially after doing a bit like with Brian Hoyt, and we're talking about consumer issues and that how vigilant we have to be and taking a look at receipts. You know, I found it quite interesting myself here recently. Going to dinner restaurants because I'm on the road in Southern California these days, and so I don't know why, because I usually don't check receipts, but I started checking the receipt and noticed that some of the tipping suggestions, you know, that they have a tipping suggestion, you know, when they give you a receipt. Some of the restaurants, I mean, really, you know, the big chain restaurants, and I was really surprised at this, they offer the suggestion based on the gross, which includes tax. So, you know, is that right? I mean, do you feel comfortable paying, the tip? I mean, you want to tip people, and you want to be feeling like, hey, I'm giving somebody a pretty good-sized tip here. But all of a sudden, it's reduced because, it's based on the tax, because I always tip just on the food. I don't include, why should I tip the government? I don't know, but it's just, you know, one of those things. I don't know, call me cheap or whatever. I thought I was being generous. And, and then all of a sudden, that comes into play. And then Paul was just saying that, you know, he experienced this weekend where the restaurant, after the fact, I mean, you know, here you get the receipt. They don't tell you beforehand. But there's a 3% surcharge to cover health insurance.
I don't know. I mean, God only knows what we're going to see in this coming year with what's happening in the service industry in light of Obamacare as that continues and that sort of thing. But I find that quite interesting, if not even a bit disturbing. But hey, we'll set that aside right now because we need to talk with Dante Scala. Dante has co-written a book with Henry Olson, and it explains the 2016 GOP primary and how it's going to unfold and what they titled The Four Faces of the Republican Party. Dante, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming on. Boy, I'll tell you, we see, with all the options within the Republican Party, I say that's good news. It gives us a lot of options. By comparison, when you look at what's happening with the Democrats, there's not much choice. Very, very limited by comparison in a culture that loves choice. Boy, they have a plethora and all they can deal with. But when you break it down, as you and Henry did, you're looking at four distinct personalities that are driving GOP, right?
Yeah, that's right. Henry and I went back and looked at all the exit polls that have been done of presidential primaries, right? Those are the things you hear about the night of, say, the New Hampshire primary, and you never hear about them after that. But we looked at all the exit polls going back to 2000 when John McCain faced off against George Bush. And what we found was that you can break down the Republican Party voters into four groups. One is very conservative evangelical voters, so people who are both religious and very conservative. Second group is very conservative secular voters. So they're people who consider themselves very conservative, but they're not especially religious. Mm-hmm. Third is somewhat conservative voters, and they turn out to be very important, even though no one ever talks about them much. And the last group are moderate and even liberal voters, and that was something that surprised me, was how large a portion of voters in Republican primaries actually consider themselves not conservative, but moderate, or even in a few cases, liberal. So mm-hmm. Our argument is that these four groups are important to watch in the months to come to see who their champion is going to be. You know, of all those mm-hmm. choices that you mentioned, who are those four groups going to pick out? And they probably won't pick the same person, which makes it interesting. Who will they gather behind? And then of those candidates who survive and advance, how will they build coalitions with the other groups in order to become the nominee? Because no exactly. one group can give a candidate the nomination. They've got to build bridges to other groups.
Well, I find this quite interesting on several levels, Dante, because if you remember years ago, there was that book, Megadeth, from John Naisbitt, and he talked about the two-party system being like, two dinosaurs mating. And maybe what's kept the two-party system alive has been the bifurcation within the parties, particularly with the Republicans, Democrats to a degree, probably more pronounced this year than ever before.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you can think about these, in our system where we have two major parties and we haven't split up into five or six parties like you might find in in European countries. What's interesting about the Republicans, and this is true with Democrats as well, is that they're almost like a confederacy of tribes. You know, all Republicans know who their opponent is, right? They all of them dislike Hillary Clinton to more or less of an extent, mostly more. Mm. But just because they agree on who their opponent is doesn't mean those tribes always get along amongst themselves. And you think about the Republican Party, we're talking about, evangelical housewives who live in Iowa and voted for Mike Huckabee in 2008. Mm-hmm. And it also includes, say, hedge fund operators, CEOs in New York City who care about business regulation but don't care much about social issues. Those two right. people are in the same political party, but they have very little to do with each other in society and life in general. So mm-hmm. what's interesting about the primaries is how these candidates try to, weave their way and become at least the second best candidate, if not the favorite candidate of these four groups.
Dante, how do these four faces break down in terms of percentages? They're not equal, are they?
No, they're not. And you take, you start with the somewhat conservatives. And they probably represent about, you know, a third, 35, 40% of primary voters. And they're very consistent across the board regionally. You go through the Northeast all the way out to the West. They make up the same number. Moderates and liberals are most prominent in the northeastern states, including my home state of New Hampshire. So you look for them, they're everywhere, but they're most prominent in the Northeast. The very conservative evangelicals, as you might guess, most prominent in the South, but also in the caucus state of Iowa, which is important, of course, because they vote first.
Right.
And then your very conservative secular voters, you actually find them, interestingly enough, in a little more in urban areas. So they're people who, you know, they're people who might work for conservative think tanks in D.C. So they're very conservative, but they like living in cities as opposed to out in rural areas. So they do vary by region, although the somewhat conservatives, you find them just about everywhere.
Right. So the breakdowns, you're saying about 30-35% conservative. Are you grouping all the, you know, the two faces of the conservative aspect that you refer to, evangelicals and secular conservatives? Is that 35-40% there? Is combined?
Well, so the two groups, the very conservative secular voters make up maybe 5-10% of the electorate.
Okay.
Evangelicals, the very conservative evangelicals, at their highest levels probably represent another, you know, 25-30% of a vote in a given state. And that's in their best states, you know, where they're
right.
most prominent out in the South. But the somewhat conservative voters, they represent a good 35-40% all on their own. So that group is very important. They're like this. The somewhat conservatives are the swing vote in the Republican primary. So, you know, moderates and liberals will agree on their candidate. Very conservative evangelicals will likely choose a different candidate. And then it's the somewhat conservatives who might swing one way in toward a more conservative candidate, or, as we've seen recently, they swing toward the moderate candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance,
right.
in 2012, the somewhat conservatives lined up behind Mitt Romney as opposed to, say, Rick Santorum.
Exactly, right. Well, what about the, you know, the voter themselves, Dante? I mean, it seems that the voter is becoming more aware, and maybe we can be thankful to Donald Trump for that, because he's getting people involved in the conversation that heretofore have been, you know, largely ignored or maybe kicked to the curb and said, look, in the name of political correctness, we don't want your opinion voiced here. But Donald Trump is spreading out the tent pegs for the GOP. What do you see happening with maybe these voters, re-entering the whole experience?
Yeah, I think that's the $64,000 question is, what are Donald Trump supporters going to do? And I think you're right. I mean, we've seen this cycle and in 2012 as well, a lot of voters, a lot of Republican voters sitting home watching on CNN or Fox, watching these debates and watching these candidates for themselves. So they're not necessarily taking the lead from, you know, the party bosses or the media elites, because they can see these people for themselves and make up their own minds. So I think that's been when you got 20 million people watching a debate, I think that's good for democracy and good for the party to have a discussion, even though elites don't always like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with Donald Trump supporters is, you know, are these people going to turn out to vote? You know, they show up for the rallies. We have big rallies here in New Hampshire. I think there's one today, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
They show up for the show, and Trump's show is a lot more entertaining than most.
Right,
the question
exactly.
is, though, are they going to turn out to vote?
Yeah, can he sustain it? No doubt. Dante Scala, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of New Hampshire and a fellow at the Carsey School of Public Policy and co-author of the book, How 2016 Primary Will Unfold in the Four Faces of the Republican Party. He and Henry Olson have written this book. I highly recommend a good reading. Thank you so much, Dante.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.